If you will, open it to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, preach this morning. I said to you, going to read a lot more scripture maybe than normally I did. And tonight, I'm going to read a lot less, all right? Just three words, all right? Just three words. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 2, the Bible says, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. I started to title the message tonight, Beware of the Dog, but it's plural. There's more than one dog you need to beware of, all right? The book of Philippians is an interesting book. It's a book filled with rejoicing and joy. For instance, you look at verse 1 of chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, all right? And there's a lot about it in rejoicing. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. That book's a lot about rejoicing and enjoying it. Hey, and if there's anything you and I ought to enjoy, you ought to enjoy your salvation. You ought to enjoy the fact you're a child of God, you're born again, you're headed for heaven. In the midst of anything and everything that might be going on, you really ought to rejoice you're saved, okay? And you say, well, I'm not sure. Well, maybe you need to get saved, all right? But if you are saved, you ought to enjoy it. You just live it up, you know? Just live it up take advantage of everything God gives you when you are saved, all right? We have some wonderful promises. We can hold on to them, and we have, I just can't help it, one of the greatest promises that we have, the promise of the presence of our God in the person of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing that is, all right? So truly, we can say never alone. Never alone, all right? Just never alone. But in spite of all that rejoicing, beware. Beware of dogs. Now in the Bible, you'll find 10 times in your Bible the Lord tells us to beware of something. Three of them are in this verse. All right? So we just want to examine that part of the scripture here that where it says we're to beware of dogs. Sometimes the job of the preacher is to warn you away from certain things. But here's the problem. We're the most stubborn, ornery people in the world. There is just something in us that when the preacher preaches and warns you about something, we think, well, I just won't take a look at what he's talking about. It's that same mentality you have when it says, you know, wet paint, do not touch. I'm not going to ask you how many have touched. You know, but I guarantee you more than one of you have. It's in us, okay? It's not the Holy Spirit. It's not God that caused you to do that, okay? I won't tell you that, so I realize when you warn people, there's always a problem, okay? Now, you said, why was Paul warning? I told you this book of Philippians is so much about joy and rejoicing. He's warning the believers in Philippi because he knew those dogs he is warning about can take away your joy. They can take it away from you, all right? In Paul's day, dogs were not what they are today. Today, they're pampered, they're coddled, they're housed in comfort. I've seen continually on the internet advertisements for this dog bed, and it shows this dog jumping up and going under, you know. It's got a lip on it, and dog goes in there. It looks all cushioned. Dog gets in there and just turns around and just sticks head out, you know. And I'm sure there's people that buy them and eat it up. I saw a deal on Facebook just the other day, said something along the line that if you're going to have a dog or a cat and they're not going to be like a member of your family, then don't have them. Hey, man, I've had a lot of dogs, but I never thought any of them were one of the family. Now, I've liked my dogs. Don't misunderstand me, okay? Enjoyed them. Some of them were smart. Some of them were dumb as a brick, you know? But I enjoyed the dogs, all right? But, man, they were never part of the family. In Paul's day, they weren't that way, you know. There used to be a day, some of y'all remember it, there used to be a day when dogs were outside. All the time outside. Now they're hardly ever outside. You know, they're just not. And when they are outside, they're on a leash. And walking along, I've talked to people before on the road, there'd be this big old huge dog, and this person's holding on the leash, and I've rolled down the window. I said, are you walking him, or is he walking you? You know? We do that. And you say, preacher, you're making me mad. Surely not. Not over a dog, I hope, okay? And I like dogs. Cats, different matter, but dogs I like, all right? But I don't know how many times I've seen a sign on the fence or on a fence post that says, beware of the dog. Now, you're looking at a preacher that believed those signs. I thought, well, if they've got a sign up, I'm going to do it. It's been my practice to do what that sign said. And I've never wanted to get dog bit. 69 years old, haven't got dog bit yet. I'm hoping to finish my journey here on this earth without ever getting dog bit, all right? I really am. Don't want it to happen. I can tell you a story about visiting with a teenage boy when he thought he was going to get dog bit. Y'all not in a hurry tonight, are you? That was old brother Carl. And Carl was just, he was just that kind of guy. I mean, I love that man. He's in heaven now. And he was in the youth department with me. And he was real faithful to visit with me. And we were out visiting. And I have a habit, okay? I go to a fenced yard. I don't care if I've been there before. I rattle the gate, and I wait. I whistle. You know, just get out of the car, I start whistling. And I've said it before, you've heard me, I want a head start. I want to be able to get to the car before the dog gets to me, all right? So, man, I'd rattle before I went in the gate, I'd rattle that fence and rattle it, nothing happened. And so we went in, me and old Carl Kimberlin, we went in, walked up to the door, knocked on the door, and really just... I was standing there, and man, out of the corner of my eye, I see this dog come around the corner. Kind of a hound-type dog, you know. And I said, hey, Carl, watch it. There's a dog. And old Carl froze. I really didn't know he was scared like that, but since I saw he was, I thought I'd have a good time with it, you know. And man, that old dog came around, I said, watch it, man. He's sniffing you. Watch it, watch it, watch it. I was doing it under my breath so he wouldn't. I said, watch it. Couldn't have been better if I'd trained the dog myself. That dog reared up and put both his paws on Carl's shoulder. I said, Carl, hold still, son. He's going for your throat. Whatever you do, don't move. Don't move. And I said, don't move. Don't move. Get him off. Get him off. You say, what happened? I told you he's in heaven. But it's not because of that dog, all right? I've just got this problem. I beware of dogs. Now, in the Bible, just simply, there's a simple message tonight. In the Bible, there's two kinds of dogs we can look at, all right? I'm just going to say it this way. There's secular and there's religious. Amen. There's secular and there's religious dog. Those dogs, if you let them, they'll take away your joy. They'll keep you from rejoicing. If you let it happen, if you let it happen. The dogs here that Paul's talking about, it speaks of degradation, all right? It speaks of those people who live very vile lives. And that's what Paul's warning them against. And I just want to tell you, there's plenty of folks like that in this world tonight. There are plenty of folks tonight that live a very vile life, and God warns us about that crowd for our own good, all right? He's telling us for our own good, you watch out for them. But it seems today that folks have a fascination with the folks that want to live vile lives. You need to be careful. Why? Because you're influenced by the folks you hang around. That's why. Whether you want to be or not, it will rub off on you, and you need to watch out. You say, well, what do you mean? Who are you talking about? Well, I think about that rock singer that bit the head off of a bat during a concert. How many of you heard about that? All right? You didn't? He did. Now, it's a long time ago, all right? That's the reason some of you haven't, all right? I just want to tell you something. When he did that, it got a lot of attention. Man, people were talking about it and everything and carrying on. Now, I knew he was a nut long before he did that, all right? And I knew that that was it. But a very wicked, a very vile individual, that wickedness, that vile behavior of folks today just seems to know no bounds. There is behavior today people will go to and things they will do that, honestly, and when I was younger, I could never imagine it would happen, all right? Just can't do it. It seems that more and more we hear of children being abused, being molested. Now, I don't know how you react to that kind of thing, but, Bud, I tell you, that gets me, all right? And the saddest thing, often it's family members who do such things, all right? We've had folks, members of our church, that have experienced that kind of thing, and it's left an impact, it's left a scar on their lives, and it can do it, it will do it. You need to be aware of such things. You need to watch out for those kind of people, all right? Now, here's the thing. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. This situation is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. That means that you and I better keep both eyes open. We better keep our ears open. We better stay alert, all right? We better stay alert, first of all, to protect yourself and your family. Your family, watch out for it. Human trafficking is not going away. It seems to be getting worse from what we hear, all right? The very idea that somebody do that, the very idea that there would be an island where some individual kept young women and flew people to that island to abuse and take advantage of those folks is mind-boggling. And then to think they'd kill him to keep him from talking. You said, preacher, is that what you think? In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. I think they killed him to keep him talking. Because there's too many people that are too far up. You said you're going to name names. I don't know them, but I believe they're there. So they saw to it that he never got to do it, okay? He never got to talk. He never had that opportunity. Look, we've got to realize this kind of thing is real. As sickening as it is, you best be real careful as to who you trust. You better be real careful who you trust. You better be careful. Boy, can I just say this? You better be careful who you let your children go home with. You better be careful who you let them spend the night with. Well, they're my friends. I don't care. I don't care. Hey, by the way, who else may be at that house? Do you know? Hey, my kids, they grew up, they didn't spend the night very many times with anybody else. You said, why not? Don't trust people. Don't trust people. Not with my kids. Look, it only takes once. Just once to scar your child for life. It only takes one thing that maybe you may be sitting here tonight, I don't know it, and something like that happened to you. That scar's there, it'll never go away. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not letting mine. I advise you not to do it. I've told people on numerous occasions that say they were going to. I said, you ought to be careful about that. You ought to be careful about that. He said, well, preacher, these folks go to church. Yeah, but there's people in that house that don't go to church. And unfortunately, there are people that go to church to do these kind of things. I'm just saying to you, you can't be too careful. You can't be. So, okay, don't trust anybody. I didn't say that. I just said you need to be real careful who you trust, all right? Need to be real careful. You need to ask God for a lot of spiritual discernment. A lot of spiritual discernment. You need to open your eyes and look and really examine folks, okay? Really examine folks. And by the way, I would say this to you that are here. We do this from time to time here at church. You need to be careful around other people. You especially need to be very careful around children. You need to be careful what you do. You need to be very careful. You need to live in such a way that they can't accuse you of doing something. You need to be careful of that. All the evil and all the wicked is not in full-grown adults. It's just not. And so you need to be real careful. We try to caution everybody in our church that you should never, never be alone with a child. Don't ever do it here at church. Never be alone. Especially whatever you do, you do not shut the door by yourself with that child. Don't do it. Just don't do it. And let me say this to you. If you're going through the church sometime and you see somebody like that, step in the room. Just step in the room. So what am I supposed to say? We'll say, hey, how's your mama? I don't care what you say. But you just step in there. You just step in there. Well, preacher, it's somebody that I know quite well. Just step in there and protect them. Protect them. Hey, beware of dogs. There's some vile people in this world. Unlike anything I could have ever imagined years ago. Hey, just recently, maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't, but the homosexual crowd was marching, and in their marching were proclaiming, hey, we're coming for your children. Can I say this to you? They weren't kidding. You say, well, every homosexual is not that way. May not be. I didn't say everyone is. But once again, can I remind you it only takes one? It only takes one. I'm not saying they're all that way. I don't believe they are. But it only takes one. Well, you're a homophobe. No. I just happen to love kids. I just happen to love people. I don't want people to be affected by the one who is vile. And that one vile individual, you got to watch, okay? You've got to keep your eyes open. The Bible said, beware of dogs. Why? You talk about taking away your joy. Taking away your rejoicing. My kids are grown. You mess with them, I still feel like doing irreparable harm to you, okay? I've got 5 grandchildren. If you mess with them, I would feel like doing irreparable harm to you. Preacher! I didn't say I'd do it. I am human, though. I am human. You and I need to realize there's some evil folks in this world. And Paul warned 2,000 years ago, beware. Beware of dogs, okay? They're the secular ones, those that are out there in this world, vile human beings. Take your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 56, would you? Isaiah chapter 56. By the way, if you think this is an enjoyable message to preach, you're dead wrong, okay? It's not enjoyable to preach this kind of sermon, but I believe it's the responsibility of a preacher to warn people, and just want to do it tonight, okay? In Isaiah chapter 56, would you look down in verse 10? See, I believe here we're talking about what we would call religious dogs. The Bible says his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain from his quarter. The scripture refers to them as watchmen, a shepherd. Folks that are watchmen and shepherds, they have a duty. They have a responsibility to others, all right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 tells us that pastors have a duty to watch for your soul. Watch for your soul. And that is that duty. As a pastor of a church, I believe they serve as the under-shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of them, though, unfortunately, are dogs. Watch out for them. Watch out for them. You need to be on your guard. Man, this does not make me feel good to preach this. I've had some personal friends that turned out to be a dog. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart what they did. Notice the first thing the Bible said. The Bible said they're blind, they're ignorant. It says they cannot bark. They cannot bark. I understand that there's one breed of dog that doesn't bark. Most dogs do, when you don't want them to, oftentimes, all right? And I can remember we had dogs. My dad's dead now, so y'all can't turn him into the SPCA, all right? But we had a dog, and that dog just, the bark, it was always in the middle of the night. And my dad had training method, all right? And when that dog would bark, man, you know, he'd bump on the window and tell the dog, shut up. Well, if he didn't, Dad'd get up and go outside and just have a meeting with the dog, and they would discuss the situation. And but I'm going to get down to the truth of it. It eventually came, that dog barked, my dad bumped on that window, that dog shut up. Man, all he had to hear, he heard that bump, he said, I know what comes after that bump, and I'm done barking, all right? But those dogs, they bark, one of the reasons they bark is a warning, okay? That's the truth of the matter is, a preacher stands and he is to warn you. He is to warn you. One of my responsibilities is to warn you. One of the responsibilities in preaching the Word of God is to warn you. It's to warn you about sin. It's to warn you about those dogs, those evil workers, and those vile individuals. It is to warn you. It's to warn you about what sin does to you, what it'll do to your family, what it'll do to your home. It's to warn you. That's my duty to do it. I get up here and preach, and oftentimes I think people think, man, preachers are just people that like to stand in the pulpit and yell at folks. No, a real preacher of the Word of God's one that's got a concern and is willing to bark and warn you, okay? But there's a lot of preachers today that fail to warn people of the danger of sin. They just don't do it. It's all positive. It's all a feel-good message. It's all of that. It's the only thing you ever hear is that feel-good, positive emphasis. I want to tell you, the negative is needed to stay safe. If there is something you should say yes to, there's also something you should say no to. No to, all right? You check out the Ten Commandments and see how much negativity there is there. Now, I know God didn't understand that we don't like negativity, right? Now, if you can't tell, I'm being sarcastic, all right? Hey, God understood. And we need that warning. We need that warning. If all I did is got up here and preached to you everything in the Bible that'll make you feel good, wonderful. But you'd die and go to hell. When I was a kid, under conviction of my sin and my lost condition, I didn't leave church skipping and happy and hooping it up. I didn't lay in my bed at night saying, "Woo, thank the Lord, hallelujah, I'm going to hell if I die." No, it was a negative thing. I felt bad. I felt bad. I don't know how you feel, but when I'm disobedient to God, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. It's not a happy thing. I don't know what it was, but God put it in me along, and then I think God used my parents to put it in me too. If you do wrong, you don't feel good about it. And I've told you the time I broke a ruler in school. It was a school's ruler, and I broke that ruler, and man, I was able to hide it real quick, and the teacher who was right there didn't see it, and I began to explain in my mind how I wouldn't get caught and everything. The only trouble was my conscience said, "Hey, you did wrong." You said, "Preacher, it was just a stinking ruler." Yeah, and in that time, you could probably get them 2 for a quarter. You can't buy 1 for a quarter now, all right? But you could then. And in my mind, I thought they shouldn't make them things cheap like that where they'd break, you know? But I don't care what I tried to do to justify it. I couldn't justify it. Now, I'm going to tell you what. You call me whatever you want to, but I'm glad somebody put that in me. I'm glad somebody did. You're not the feel-good, all right? And that preacher that cannot bark, that doesn't warn you, is not your friend. Right. He's not your friend. Notice what the Bible says about him. You go on and said they're sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. You say, what does that mean? Well, I don't think you got to be a real genius to figure out they're lazy. And they're more concerned with their own comfort than they are taking care of the flock. You're just, you know, lazy people. I have told you as a church, if you need this preacher, you call me. You call me. Now, I would really prefer you not call me at 3 o'clock in the morning to chat because you're brokenhearted because the Cowboys lost the game, okay? I would really not prefer you not. But if that's just, and you have to have it, go ahead, all right? And I mean it. He said, "Preacher, what do you do when the phone rings in the middle of the night?" I answer it. It's laying right by my bed. I pick the thing up. I answer it. And I watch these people on television shows, you know, the phone rings there. Hello? If you call me in the middle of the night, that's not what you're going to get. I'm going to hand the phone to my wife and let her answer it. No, I'm not. Not going to do that. Listen, the man of God is to be concerned about his people. And he's not to be lazy in the doing of that job. Not to be lazy. I'm going to confess something to you. The whole deal with COVID almost made me lazy. I could not go to the hospital and get in. That irked me big time. And you just couldn't get in. And I felt like, hey, there's some people there that I think it'd be a blessing to them if I could just stop by and say something to them, but they wouldn't let me in. And that went on for months. And I can remember the first time that I had somebody in the hospital and it occurred to me, hey, I can go see them. Yeah, been so long. Look, you don't need somebody like that. You need somebody that's concerned with you. It's not my comfort. It's doing what God. Hey, listen, I'll tell you, when I surrendered to the ministry, and by the way, please don't misunderstand what I'm preaching to you tonight. I'm not bragging on me, but I want you to understand what a pastor's supposed to be. As opposed to a dog, okay? I want you to understand. When I surrendered to the ministry, I knew what I was getting into. I'd been raised in a preacher's home. Our phone had rung at all hours of the night. I had seen my dad get up and leave. I knew it was part of it. I knew it was in the job description. Didn't bother me. I've heard preachers, preachers that say, "Oh, never make hospital visits." They ought to kick you out, Bubba. They ought to get rid of you. Hey, anytime, night or day, you need this guy, you just get in touch with me. You call. You call. And I'll do my best. Now, some of you, Brother Todd this morning said, "Preacher, I called you yesterday," and he said, "You never called me back. You didn't answer the phone." And I looked, and I said, "Well, it didn't show up on my phone." And I looked because I was ashamed of myself when he said that. And I thought, how did I let that slip up? Because I try to carry my phone all the time. I try to answer it. There have been occasions when I leave it laying in my study on my desk, and I get away and from it, and I'll be in there, and I'll hear this ringing, and by the time I get there, it's too late, all right? But now, I'll tell you this. There are times today, if I don't get to it, and I see a number I don't recognize, if they don't leave a message, I figure it's a robocall. I get inundated with those dumb things. And somebody, they'll call, and I answer my phone. The other day, I had a twofer. While I was listening to one, deciding this is a robocall, another one called. Back to back. I mean, right there together, all right? I tried to hang on. Oh, wait just a second. I'm going to answer this other call, and I'll let y'all talk to each other. You know, I wish I could have done that. Hey, you listen to me. A pastor's not to be lazy. He's not to be a sleeping, lying down. He's to be about the business of it, about the business that God's called him to do. You look at verse 11. The Bible said they're greedy dogs. They're greedy dogs. Friend, if you can't see that from many of the so-called TV evangelists, you definitely have a lack of spiritual discernment. Definitely have a lack of spiritual discernment. When you hear them, and I have heard of them talking that they have to have a bigger and a faster jet than what they've got, and you know, bigger, it'll get them where they're going, carry more people and all that. Hey, can I say this to you? You say, "Well, preacher, you're upsetting me now. My favorite preacher is so-and-so." Good. When you need them to visit you in the hospital, call them. Amen. Call them. When you die, have your family call them and ask them to do your funeral. And I don't think any of you are like that, all right? But man, the constant plea is send me an offering. Send me an offering, and I'll send you an anointed handkerchief. Or a wallet. Look, if you just have extra money you don't know what to do with, you tell me the same thing. I will take a handkerchief, pray over it, give it to you, and you can do with it as whatever, okay? But can I just point this out? There's no scripture for that kind of stuff. There's no scripture for that. That is a money-making racket. And some of those guys, the amount of money they make. Now, I'm going to tell you, I hate to say this, but I'll tell you this. You can't overpay a good pastor. You can't overpay a good pastor. I'm not bucking for a raise. All right? Not bucking for a raise. You can't overpay a good pastor. But, man, there's a lot of overpaid dogs that won't bark, all right? That are greedy dogs. Overpaid, all right? Listen, let me wrap up tonight. Let me just say it. God gave us a local church. God gave us a local church. He gives a pastor to that local church who watch for your soul. Boy, I just want to say, you stick with a biblical plan and you can avoid most problems. You can avoid most problems. I think back to all through my life watching people. When my dad was pastor when I was a kid and teenager. And I can remember watching him and talking to people, and I think, boy, if so many people could have avoided so many problems in their life if it had just done what their pastor preached to them to do. If it had just paid attention. If you just do that, all right? Because you'd be glad that you have a pastor that'll preach you the Word of God and doesn't hold back and doesn't try to be politically correct, be glad. And I'm not saying that I'm the best pastor the world's ever seen. Don't believe that at all. But I'll tell you this, without favor and without fear, you will not have a pastor that will love you more than this guy right here will love you. Just can't be. Now, they may be a better preacher. They may be better at this, that, and the other, but they ain't nobody going to love you more than I love you. And I'm going to do my best to warn you. All I'm saying to you is tonight, you beware of dogs. I have talked to people who have sent money to those dogs and later regretted it. And in some instances said, I did it because they said what I wanted to hear. Can I tell you this? The truth of the matter is, when you come to church, you probably need, and I do too, what we need is somebody to tell us what we don't want to hear. Old Sam Jones, the Methodist evangelist, they accused him, you know, of rubbing the fur the wrong way. He said, turn the cat around, all right? And I won't be rubbing the fur the wrong way. And that's as good a thing as I know to say, all right? Beware of dogs, okay? Beware of dogs. You watch out. You watch out. I'm careful who I let come and stand behind this pulpit. I'm careful. I'm not going to say it'll always be perfect, but I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be careful about who I let stand behind this pulpit and preach. Beware of dogs. Would you bow for prayer tonight? Now, we're going to give an invitation tonight. I honestly don't know how to give the invitation. I really don't. But maybe there's something that the Lord's been dealing with you about. It doesn't necessarily have to do with anything that's been said tonight in the message. But maybe God's been working on you. As I preached to you this morning, maybe he's been pricking your heart. And you've stood back and held off and waited and said, no, and I'll do it later, and I'll do it, well, it's later. Take care of it now. Take care of it now. Whatever the need is. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help us tonight? Lord, help us just be honest with ourselves and honest with you. Lord, this has not been an enjoyable message for me to preach. But Lord, I believe it's important. I believe it's necessary. It's in the Bible. Lord, would you help us? I pray, Lord, you'd give each one of these folks that are here real spiritual discernment. They'd be able to see through those dogs that they may run into. Lord, help them. Help us tonight. We come to invitation time. If there's somebody here, Lord, that needs to do right, needs to come and do business, Lord, help them to come. Help them to come. Take advantage of the invitation tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Just